Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page.
Help for sight for dyscalculia. Supreme Court gets involved in dyscalculia. Build the foundational number concepts first. ADHD and finances, and careful with words when talking about neurodiversity. This is our podcast for week 11 in 2023. And welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. She's going to help us make sense of the links that we posted on Dyscalculia Headlines this week. Welcome Dr. Schroeder.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Always great to see you. And we have wonderful links that we want your opinions and your views over. The first one is interesting. It's about a helpful site for dyscalculia. We always like helpful sites.
Absolutely.
What do we have here?
So this comes from the healthyjournal.com blog. And they have dedicated a whole page to how you can help people with dyscalculia.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
And the way they work is asking questions that puzzle people. And they have all kind of questions like, how many layers of paint do you need to prevent rust, to say something?
Okay.
But this one was about dyscalculia and how can you help people with dyscalculia. So it's a little bit like what we do at our site, dyscalculiaheadlines.com, by going over the internet, clipping short parts of websites, and compiling that together, and they try to find good advice that fits in this topic. So I can see. But obviously it will change over time, and experts from MyClevelandClinic.org, they have links and parts from the Understood website. They have parts from Attitude Magazine, WebMD, and others. And that obviously these websites change, so their content, when they pick it up from those websites, can also be updated. But if you do it that way, you also may run into issues when you just copy and paste, like about what I saw was a little bit off about the two types of dyscalculia. Obviously, there's developmental and acquired. But that doesn't matter. These are details. So although this is not original content, the collection is great and easy for parents and teachers to browse and quickly get some information what they were looking for, and usually given by reputable websites.
Right, right. It's easy, yeah? So instead of having to go to all these websites,
yourself,
like we do they with Dyscalculia Headlines.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the next link says that the Supreme Court got involved in Dyscalculia. What happened?
Yeah, that's a nice story, but let me immediately say that it's the Supreme Court, not in the United States, but from India.
That's clickbait. Now we have clickbait titles.
Absolutely. So they had to rule about someone who was not recognized with her learning disability, and in this case, dyscalculia.
Okay.
And she couldn't graduate due to the lack of accommodations. Now, the Supreme Court got involved, and they ruled that this student has completed the requirements for a master's design in the in the Indian Institute of Technology. So that is a pretty direct intervention in the school's affairs. And I think I could have also seen a different outcome, like where the school would have been ordered to offer more support, but apparently that was not their decision. But whatever, it worked for the student.
Yeah, it worked for the student.
She graduated. Yeah. And it's great awareness for learning disabilities and certainly for dyscalculia.
Right, right. Well, also tough from that student to drive it all the way to the Supreme Court. That's pretty intense.
Right. But that's a master's of design. And that's an important...
Important thing, yes. Lots of things to design in India, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the next link is about building a foundational number concept first. What is that about?
Yeah, it's a bit older article, but still very important. And it is about an article in Science magazine, and it is discussed at the plusmath.org website. By Marianne Freiberger. Now, the authors of the original article in Science make the point, and I totally agree, that remediation should build the foundational number concepts first. If you do that, conceptual gaps can be addressed later. So, and even when you make sure that the foundational number concepts are in place, some of the conceptual gaps may vanish on their own.
Because now they understand how the numbers hang together.
Exactly.
Right. So
the writers want to have specific attention to two things: set enumeration, so knowing how many you have, and set comparison, so more or less, right?
Right.
So you can. If you do that, you can differentiate dyscalculia from other reasons of having low numeracy. And this low numeracy is not what they show here, is not affecting just the individual and their family, but the nation as a whole. And for example, they have calculated in the UK that the cost of low numeracy and what not is remediated, can be over £2 billion a year.
That's huge.
And while many interventions are now addressed isolated at specific skills or gaps, this article argues that we first need to address the basic misunderstanding and then go towards the next issues. So, we need to work on the link between numbers and magnitude. And you can, when the time is not available from a special ed teacher or SEN, special educational needs, SEND, how they call it in the UK, you may have to rely on specialist software. And that can also be very helpful.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. The next thing is about ADHD and finances. Now, how do those two hang together?
Yeah, this article was found on iNews from the UK, and it has people telling about how learning disabilities affect their daily lives as adults. Now, let me quote here. The main topic here is finance. And they say that the current financial landscape has left many neurodiverse people with feelings of anxiety and being tangibly worse off with their financial health. And I think that's very true. The person pictured here has many learning disabilities, and he explains how his ADHD makes it so hard to prioritize his finances. So, for instance, a bill comes in. He finds that he has still some days left to pay, so he doesn't have to do it right now. Then it goes on the bottom of the pile. And sure enough, now he forgets it and can have to pay extra or get in trouble with who sent the bill in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So he thinks that financial institutions should have some training in how people with a neurodiversity think and work, and that they can help people if they do call, if they send letters, if they incorporate that that training. Now, honestly, he also runs a company that offers this kind of training.
Yeah, so that's a bit self-serving then.
Well, it's obvious why he makes that point. He thinks it's very important.
Yeah. Okay.
But nevertheless, it's good for companies and their people to look into this.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, well, that brings us to our last link, and it cautions us when we talk about neurodiversity. What do we have to be cautious about?
Well, this is a contribution from the Cranfield University from the UK. And it's a good article that warns us to be mindful, to weigh our words carefully when talking about neurodiversity. And there are two ways of thinking about this. The first one, the pathology paradigm, they call it, says there is a normal healthy brain, and then you have people with an abnormal, unhealthy brain.
Okay.
Then we have the neurodiversity paradigm. And that says there is no such thing as a normal brain. Everybody has different strengths and weaknesses and different functions. So there is a diversity, and that is for all people, actually. Now, there is this lively debate about those two viewpoints.
Right.
So, bear that in mind also when you talk about neurodiversity. Then, if you are very good in linguistics, a person should not be called neurodiverse, because the word neurodiverse actually refers to a whole group, and an individual can be referred to as a neurodivergent individual.
Okay. Now we're getting really complicated here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yes, they are right linguistically. Anyway, however, if someone comes to me and they say, I'm neurodiverse, I'm not going to kind of change that. I know what they mean. That is just how they say it. The importance is that they are discussing the subject and that they also own the issue. And there are many people who just say dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia. And this means ill or bad in reading or math. And it doesn't seem to bother them that part of that word that describes them has something in it that it says it's not working, it's ill. Because that gives a diagnosis, and that means that it's not their whole being, it's not their intelligence, but this is this specific issue that they have, and they try to explain and share that with other people. And I think that's very good that people do that. And we need to embrace this neurodiversity, I think. So it's a good article, and it adds a new perspective.
It adds a new perspective. It is a good. It's a good point that they bring up. Well, thank you, Dr. Schroeder, for stepping in and sharing your wealth of knowledge and experience with us. Hope to see you again next week. Dr. Schroeder is the founder of DyscalculiaServices.com, and I would advise you go to her website, explore that website. There is so much information you can find there. And then we'll see you back next week.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from DyscalculiaHeadlines.com. You can find us on the web at DyscalculiaHeadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at DyscalculiaHead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications@DyscalculiaHeadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.